Blog Talk Radio.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, get to rock the boat and make it mess. So I took quality, a creepy lighting. I guess that I forgot I had a tool. Let you push me past the breaking point. I fixed enough to make. Watch out for everything. You hunt me down, but I got out. Already pushing off the step. You hear my voice, he's back down.
Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Sicca from Michigan.
Yes, and today is Season 5, Episode 28, the topic, Why Do Conservatives Fear and Loathe Feminism So Much? It is Monday, August 28th, 2023, and conservatives tend to hate what they don't understand. Fear breeds contempt. Contempt breeds loathing. Loathing breeds hate. This is who conservatives truly are. They're not good people. They believe, and wrongly so, that they're entitled and should be looked up on as classy, and what others not like them should aspire to become. They worship wealth and influence. They participate in groupthink and not independent or rational, and don't have a thought of their own or ideas of their own. They say one thing but do another thing. They hide behind their religion and the Bible, the King James Version mostly, and think people not like them should know their place. Women suffer because of this vile groupthink especially. They defend the status quo. In an ever-changing world, patriarchy is frowned upon with great disdain, and instead of changing and adapting to the times, they rather remain stuck in the past of what America was. How can hearts and minds be changed from this toxic thinking? When will some Americans change with the times? A woman can have both a career and be a mother if she decides that is what she wants to do with her life. The days of women being barefoot, uneducated, and pregnant are over. Women are excelling in every non-traditional job type there is. Why does it scare conservatives, white conservative men especially, so much? Will America ever have a true equality between men and women? Thanks for sharing across all social media and joining us on broadcast tonight. Win by calling in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Be respectful and not speak over others. Turn off all the background noise. You can visit our website. It's kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so Lori,
yeah,
where should we start?
Well, let's start with Women in Power, 2023. We can start. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. There is an article, and it came out of Geneva, New York, and it goes on to say that more women than ever hold political decision-making posts worldwide, gender parity is still far off. According to the 2003 edition of the IPU-UN Women Map of Women in Politics. The map presents the latest rankings and regional distribution of women in executive positions in national parliaments as of January 1st, 2023. The data shows that the number of women in political leadership roles, both in government and in parliament, has increased overall, but some regions lag far behind.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm trying to find it here. In is it like one in three women believe feminism does more harm than good? Is that the article?
No. I'll send it to you right now. You, if you have it, you just probably don't see it at the moment. It's right here. I'm sending it to you right now. You should have it.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha. Yes, yes, yes.
You have it. All right, so
it was not on what was there.
So I guess what they're saying is that there are more women in, you know, in powerful positions around the world, but we still have not become equal in, you know, having like five men and five women or, you know, that sort of thing. It just hasn't happened. The UN executive.
And, you know,
go ahead.
It's very ridiculous that, you know, third world countries and developing countries in Asia, Far East and wherever, you know, they have had female heads of government. But United States is the only one in the Western world, and a few of the old ones in the Western world. We never had a female head of state. We had a great chance in 2016, but of course, that was messed up, you know. And, you know, do you think in your lifetime or our lifetime that America will have a female U.S. president?
That's hard to say. Well, we have a female vice president. You know, I say that we do have that, Kamala Harris. A female president, maybe the next time around, I would say yes. Maybe in 2020. I can already think of a couple women that would be great presidents. Why not? I mean, you know, women are just as intelligent as men. Sometimes they're more practical, more, you know, a little more cool, logical. Some are extreme, don't get me wrong. You know, there are different stereotypes of everyone. I mean, everyone's got their personality. But I don't see why it can't happen. I don't see why it can't happen.
Yeah, but, you know, women are still deeply underrepresented in government leadership. Less than one in four cabinet ministers, with men continuing to dominate critical portfolios such as economy, defense, and energy. You know, but, you know, we could give props to the current Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. More than half of his cabinet is female. So that's a good sign right there. And in the United States, you know, women make up more than half the population. So within the United States Congress, whether the U.S. Senate or the House of Representatives, I think it would be good if more women were elected in positions of power. I mean, we've come a long way since the 1970s, the 1960s, 1970s. But, you know, I wouldn't mind or wouldn't feel threatened as a man if it were 50-50, you know, because I just said women, some women are more practical and everything. You know, what do you say to the man, you know, out there who said, oh, geez, you know, women, suppose, you know, they get up on the wrong side of bed and having Aunt Flo's visit once again, you know, and she have access to nuclear code. Will she drop a bomb on, you know, country that you know, our God was enemy, you know, instead of being diplomatic, go to diplomatic circles, try hash out problems. Because, you know, an idiot like Donald Trump, made that point in 2016 and throughout his presidency. Women are irrational and emotional. You know, like, he's not. He's probably worse than any woman I know.
Oh, please.
You know?
Please. Yes. He's absolutely probably worse than a woman. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. Have you ever, I mean, she doesn't flinch. You have to give her credit. You know, the Benghazi, was it the Benghazi where she sat for 11 hours being questioned? I mean, she didn't, she did not complain. She answered every question. She is a strong-willed woman. She's very intelligent. You know, she's an amazing person, in my opinion.
She didn't take the Fifth Amendment one time.
No way. Absolutely. Even though, you know, she's been constantly called, you know, Crooked Hillary by you-know-who. You know what I'm saying.
Even worse,
so,
maybe.
Even worse than that. But, you know. So in order to have a full democracy, we need equal participation of women in all its processes. Yet there are continued violence and threats online, offline, against women leaders, candidates, and voters blight the potential for their voices and knowledge to bring the change that is so urgently needed for economic and social recovery. The world cannot afford to continue this injustice. We need a paradigm shift that brings true equality. And I agree with that. You know, you know, women get, you know, actually women are not getting married now like they did, you know, back in the day. They're just not getting married. You know, they're in a relationship, but they're really not getting married. They have their own, you know, job. They have their own careers, I should say. And, you know, they have their children and, you know, they're, have their responsibilities, and I think a woman has so many hats that she wears in her lifetime that I don't know, and I don't mean to be rude or anything, but I'm not sure that a man could do or wear all the hats that a woman wears in a lifetime, you know, as a caretaker, you know, as a cook, as a chauffeur, as a, you know, working in the home, working outside the home, you know, raising children, you know, and the list goes on and on. So, you know, women need to be more respected, in my opinion. And, you know, some men need to really, you know, we have a place. We have a voice. And we have brains.
Yeah, and equal works for equal pay, the Lilly Becker Act. Signed that thing? I think it was Clinton, I'm not sure. But, you know, the Republicans, just, you know, it still isn't happening to the states. You know?
Still not
a perfect example is United States women's soccer team. I mean, I guess a crash of early in the World Cup that went by recently. But the thing is, when you compare what they have won compared to the men, you know, it's the men's team who are the extra equipment, extra money for bonuses, what have you. I'm not saying, you know, that you know, the women, in terms of strength, are like the men, but, you know, look at the thing where they're winning everything. They've won basically everything, every competition you can think of. You know, so why are they paid less? You know, why the aren't given, you know, like bonuses like the men? You know, things like that, you know?
Yeah, that,
so,
that is what about the women's basketball team? You know, same thing. They're not paid as much, you know? No, it's not fair, you know?
But on the flip side of that, though. It's, you know, when you bring basketball in, just like in women's soccer, they're good at what they do, not as good as the men in terms of skills and strength and what have you. However, if more people buy tickets and support these women will get more pay. So, you know, it's like a double-edged sword, really. You know?
True. That's a good point. Absolutely.
Yeah, somebody called in and hung up because I put them on mute because I had the background on. Last time, people, when you call in, kill all background noises. The terrible feedback and it disturbs us greatly. We can't hear what's going on. Okay, no TV, no radio, no internet, no nothing. Everything should be silent. So we're going to take calls now. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where are you calling from? Hello, Michigan. What's cooking tonight?
Hi, this is Elaine from Michigan.
Hi, Elaine.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
Okay. I've got an announcement for the end of the program. It's about a protest in Michigan.
Okay.
Unless you want me to announce it.
Yeah, go
ahead.
Okay. So we don't.
All right, I'm going to announce it twice. Anybody in Michigan in the Tri-County area near Warren, Michigan, I figure a area of about 20 miles away, we're going to. There is a group that's going to be protesting John James for his votes for just for the for business. He has not voted anything for people. He's lockstep with the orange guy, and he just doesn't seem to want to move. The protest is tomorrow, which is August 29th, Tuesday at noon. It's outside of his office in Warren, Michigan.
Okay.
This will be repeated again, but I'll give the address now if you happen to have a pencil handy. 30500 Van Dyke, Suite 306. That
And,
would be approximately Van Dyke. I am guessing that's between 12 and 13 mile.
Okay. Do you have the zip code by any chance?
48093.
Yeah, that way, you know, people can put it in their GPS, you know. And
well,
it's
they said it's next door to the Olive Garden, and I'm thinking the Olive Garden is on Van Dyke between 12 and 13.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Elaine, for that.
So anybody can come.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could go. I just I'm not walking very good again.
Yeah,
but anybody can go, and I will keep my the TV on, and hope that we get some coverage on it.
I hope
okay.
so.
Mm-hmm.
Is John James in your district? Just to
yes, he
district.
Is. I didn't realize with all the gerrymandering that was going on.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
I didn't
he's
vote
in your
for him.
District. Yeah, because I have, what's her name? She just left my brain.
McLean.
I'll think of
Lisa
it.
Lisa McLean.
Yes.
Lisa McLean.
Yeah. And she's another do-nothing.
Lisa McLean district family.
Well,
yeah.
She might be next.
I know. She is another do-nothing, so absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And, Lori, you keep cutting out. I don't know why. You just keep cutting out.
Oh, I don't know why either.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay,
no. So, ladies, women in the highest position in terms of running a state, as of January 1st, 2023, 11% of countries have women head of state. That's 17 out of 151 countries. And monarchy-based systems were including in that. So 9.8% of women heads of state equals 19 countries out of the 193 countries in the world. This is an increase compared to a decade ago when figures stood at 5.3% and 7.3% respectively. You know, so, you know, out of 193 countries, only 19 countries have women in the state.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
That's not very, wow. Not cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in New Zealand recently, their prime minister resigned because her cabinet members and members of her party pressured her because she just had a baby. She was breastfeeding, was trying to juggle motherhood with one of the country's prime minister, the leader of the party in power, what have you. And they're saying to her, basically, I think this is too much stress on you. I think you need to step down and give somebody else a chance and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, when it first happened, you know, they're all for it and everything, you know, and the economy in New Zealand, as far as I know, is good. But for some reason, I guess, you know, some men, I should say, can't, you know, stomach women who have power, you know, they feel threatened by it. You know, have you ever been in that position, any ladies, where, you know, where you know, you're the boss, so to speak, and because you're a female, you don't get listened to, you don't get respected. Tell me about your experience.
I have to think about that for a moment.
I can tell you about mine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
I sold used cars and motorhomes, and I worked with two other gentlemen, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. They reminded me every day with very colorful words that I wasn't needed there. But yet both of their wives worked. Take my ops. They would go into my. I had to lock my desk up. They would pick the locks. They would try to take my. At that time, you had little circle files with your contacts. They would try to steal those. It was absolutely horrible. And yet, with all the problems that I had, I outsold them. Because I was honest and they weren't.
Well, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But then I went to another place to work, and my boss was absolutely awesome. He was younger than me. He would be like my younger brother type age at that time. He believed in if you do a good job, he didn't care if you wore a dresser or just pants. You did a good job. You were recognized. He made it clear that I was to be taught hitches. This was a trailer place, a trailer and motorhome place. At that time, I knew everything there was to know about hitches, cars, how they go on, what they were capable of doing. It was nice working for him, just absolutely super. So you know, there are good bosses out there, and he made sure that I was treated fair. If he ever thought that one of the men was going to be mean, he made sure that he got him in the office and gave him a talking to.
Right.
Well,
in all years of selling cars, all years of selling cars and motorhomes, like maybe it's not fit for air, but, you know, what is the worst thing a guy has ever said to you, you know, in terms of, I don't know.
I can't say that.
I don't know if you want to share that.
I can't say it on the air. That first place I worked in, I cannot say what they said to me. No, I cannot say it. I can't even tone it down. They were rough. They were rough.
Yeah.
Wow.
The guys in the shop, we would take a car home to see if there was anything wrong with it. And I would go in the morning. I'd drive the car into the part where they fixed it, and I would explain the different things the car was doing. And I was learning a lot because they would tell me, "Well, that has to do with the ball joints. That has to do with the suspension." I mean, I really, really learned a lot. But the two guys that I worked with were horrible. Yet the guys in the bump shop and in the repair shop were absolutely awesome.
Well,
I have no idea.
They were jealous of you because you sold more than that. Could that be it?
I guess that's what it was. But, I mean, they started with me from the first day, and I still managed to outsell them.
Good for you, Elaine.
Well, I didn't lie to the customers, even though the boss periodically used to say, well, you have to color things. I said, that car leaks oil. You got to get rid of that car. But if there's a customer that thinks that he can fix the oil that's leaking in that car, then he's welcome to buy it, but he's going to know it leaks oil.
Yeah.
All right, but check this out. Ladies, do you ever think, you know, like Laura was making a point earlier in the show where, you know, women decide to stay single and they may have children, so she's a single mother and everything, and she'll have a career to juggle and what have you. You know, do you think that helps in contributing to, you know, because suppose she'll have like 4 or 5 kids, you know? I mean, she's a working woman. You know, doesn't she need a man in a household to, like, guide these kids and help out and what have you? I hope I'm not sounding chauvinistic when I ask that question.
No, she would need some help. But I was thinking more of these women are in relationships with men. They live together, but they're not married. Talking about. They live together, but they're not married. And there's more and more of that going. We heard a whole thing about it a couple of weeks ago. And different reasons, you know, for different reasons. So, yes, I think the man has the responsibility, especially, you know, if they had the children together, that to take care, you know, of the kids, you know, and help support and everything else. Absolutely. But, I mean, that's what relationship set up as. I mean, you just don't walk into a relationship like that. You know, you talk about it, you work on it, you make your plans, and that's how it should be, you know. And even if they're married, I do believe that, you know, the husband, the man, should help, you know, help with chores around the house, help with, you know, when their kids are sick or whatever needs, you know, sports and driving and chauffeuring and everything. I mean, the shopping. I mean, things can be divided up and, you know, done either together or, you know, separately. But, yeah, there's no reason, you know, why they can't work together. And
But what do you say to the single mother who have no spouse, you know? Is either one or the other word?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, that's a tough one. So they have to rely more on maybe their family. You know, if they have a mother or an aunt, sister, or, you know, a good friend. You know, they have to have someone that they can, you know, rely on because, you know, I'm sure that they still have to work and go on, you know, with their lives. So, yeah, and that makes life more stressful, more hectic. I'm sure it does, you know. So
let me pose a point on here. What about the woman who has 5 kids and he decides that he wants a younger, chippier type female and he leaves her and he won't pay child support and he goes out and gets cash jobs. So when he goes to court, he says, I'm unemployed. I don't have any money coming in. What do we do to help her?
Yeah, that's a tough one because that does happen. You know, that does happen.
That happens more than it should.
Probably, yes. You know, I don't know the statistics myself, but it probably does happen.
That's why you have the government who step in when single mothers need help. You have SNAP programs. You have, you know, different ways you can help single mothers. And the justice system do go after deadbeat fathers. So,
When?
And
I know too many. I was in property management, and I'm going to tell you, the girls get tired of going to court because they don't see any money.
Yeah,
It is a justice system, and it's set up so the man can walk. At least it is in Michigan.
No, I disagree with that, because I know somebody, when I lived in New York, this guy at the time was 40-plus years old, and he started getting kids when he was 12 years old. Long story short, there's some Jerry Springer thingness. I think Laura spoke to him once on the show when I had we had it years ago, and Laura cussed his ass out, and the woman called him so mad, cussed him out. Try to guess, Elaine, how much children this guy has. He's like 60 plus now.
Wow.
Try to take one guess. Try to take one guess on how much children this guy has.
Well, you said 60 some.
No, no, he is 60 something now.
He probably doubled it, 120.
How many kids? Close enough. 103 the last time I checked. From different women. And all women are either cousins, first cousins, mother, daughter, grandmother, granddaughter, sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just mixed up. There's a whole cesspool of crap right there. And trust me, these different baby mamas got after him and using the court system. But how much is he paying for? That's the thing. Having over 100 damn kids, how much can he really afford? the whole system is jacked up, really. And every other day he's in jail because of lack of child support. He owes like over $1 million in child support. It's a whole business right there.
You can almost have a program on child support. There are men that try, and they do run on hard times. And instead of the court system working with the ones that try, they put them in jail. Mm-hmm. Well, when they put them in jail, if they had even a part-time job, they lost that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The system is set up to just plain fail for the kids.
Well, because think about it. You know, if the man, the husband, the father, whomever, does not pay child support, and you have, the mom decide to, tell the court, sure, they arrest him. Yes, he goes to prison. Mm-hmm. He goes to, prison. He probably loses his job. If he had a job, he probably loses it. So then when he comes out of prison, it's like a revolving door. I mean, it's about how do you ever catch up?
Try, but they've fallen on hard times. Maybe they have a new blended family, and they have fallen on hard times. The court system doesn't work with them. You have some judges that just plain lock them up. And that's another program, because we have these private prisons, and they make their money by having a number count.
Of course.
Right.
Then the man gets even farther behind, because when they get out of jail, they are sent a bill for room and board.
Yep.
And not to mention, when you go to family court, these women,
they now have a warrant for their arrest for room and board.
Okay, so how about this point when, the mother has to go to family court, she has to take time off her job. That's another consideration I'll put in consideration. This person been holding long, Virginia. This is Khalil calling from Virginia.
Okay.
Hello, Khalil. What's cooking tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. There's something playing in the background. Can you turn that down, please? Why do conservatives fear and love feminism?
I don't know. And the thing that bothers me is they've used women and children to go against the transgender people, but when it comes to actual women's rights, they don't actually care. Or even children's rights, they don't actually care. It's like they want to use the female to go against other people, but they don't actually care about their actual rights. And they do it with a lot of different people. They don't care. And it's like, if these people are truly for women and children's rights when it comes to transgender people, they could be for abortion rights as well. So mm-hmm. most of the people, I'm not going to say all of them, that are against abortion for women are full of, but even this guy named Dave Dovmeyer, he's supposed to be a coach. He doesn't believe in women's rights, but yet he was trying to use a woman's rights to go against the transgender bathrooms at Target. So I mean, it's like women are being used, but then when it comes to actual things that actually help women, they're being thrown away.
What do each of you say when Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and Congressman from Georgia, he made a statement recently on Fox News saying that Democrats still want to kill the baby after it's born, you know, or abort the baby after it's born, you know, and people actually believe that crap.
I don't know. I
was dumbstruck when I heard him say that.
The statement doesn't even make sense. It really doesn't.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, it's after the point.
You know, so a lot of conservatives, especially the men, think that, you know, feminism has ruined the family structure, the nuclear family. And the nuclear family for them is husband, wife, children, maybe a dog, maybe a cat, with a white picket fence, whatever. You know, so, you know, since the Stonewall, the Stonewall thing happened in the 1970s where gays were fighting for the rights and everything, the whole dynamic of relationships changed. It was more open now and everything. We have LGBTQ relationships, and conservatives just refuse to get on the board of equality in terms of LGBTQ rights, you know? So do you think they'll ever come around eventually in terms of supporting LGBTQ?
Conservative?
Yeah.
No.
Take out religion out there, you know?
You can't take
religion out.
There
are different types of conservatives.
Well, most of them are, you know. No, I don't know. I would take something very shocking, maybe in their own family. Maybe then they'll change their mind, you know, if it's changing in their family, maybe that might change their mind. I mean, I have that situation, you know, with my nephew and my sister, you know, born again Christian, and, you know, her son just now came out as being, you know, gay. And, you know, if you're Christian, you know, that's just not cool. You just don't do those things.
Right.
But she has to either adapt or she loses her son. So, you know, what do? You adapt. You know, you go along with it. You know, and, you know, I think her hope is that, you know, in 5 years he'll decide that he's not gay. Well, I truly think that's not going to happen. But, you know, let her have that, you know, that idea in her head. And, you know, it'll keep her busy in that respect.
So what do you all feel about, you know, the welfare state? Should the welfare state be mended or ended? Because conservatives feel that it's a government handout program, and after a certain time, you know, people on welfare should be cut off. You know, what's your thought on that? I think it's the welfare system in any society, you know, there should be a safe and living system, because all developed countries in Europe have it, where, you know, they continue to try to improve welfare. But in America, the conservatives have gone wild and want to get rid of it, you know. So, and when you look at statistics, mostly southern states who support Republicans, you know, suck off the teeth off of welfare. But yet still these people who benefit from welfare vote Republican. What's your thoughts?
Anything else you need me to do?
In my opinion, you have to have some sort of welfare. You absolutely have to. Even if you have a family that, let's say the husband or the wife, whoever was the, you know, the one that made the most money in the family, sometimes it is the wife. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times it's the husband, whatever the situation. And let's say one of them gets sick, and then you end up with health bills, you know, bills from illness, and you can't work. There's all kinds of situations that you can have in your life where you, you know, can lose everything, even though you've worked hard for everything. So there has to be a safety net. And, you know, you can have savings, but you'll burn through those savings quickly because everything is so expensive. You have to, you know, continue on. So, yes, you absolutely have to have a safety net. But also, you know, we've all heard stories of, you know, different people taking advantage of the safety net of welfare. And, you know, that is why there are so many people that, you know, that are against it, you know, because there are some rotten apples that do take advantage of it. You know, they do take advantage of it. And so, I mean, that, you know, they have to find ways to figure out how to control that, I guess. You know, how else can you do it? Because you do need that safety net.
First of all, that's conservative propaganda. They always bring up the welfare queen, the gal that went to get her check in the Cadillac, the gal that had mink coat on as she got her check. When you go and check facts out that they claim are true, you find out there is no welfare queen. She did not come in a Cadillac, and if she did, it was at least 45 years old. It had three ball tires, and it banged all the way into the parking lot. I mean, that is a lot of exaggeration that comes out of the conservative's mouth. Yeah, every once in a while there is a cheat. Okay, fine. I agree, there is a cheat. But it's just like them saying that people cheat during the elections. How many cheaters was there? Two?
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah.
Well, if you find a cheater, then prosecute them. How many people cheated during the pandemic? And they were big shots. How many people are getting their loans paid that sit there in Washington? They got their loans paid. Why?
Yes, they
because they're big shots? And they're going to talk about one cheater in the system? Well, you know what? I would rather have one cheater in the system and have 100,000 kids have a school lunch.
Oh, me too. And, you know, now that you mentioned school lunch, this year in Michigan, that's going to happen. Governor Whitmer has passed legislation. I think they put $30 billion. No. Oh, I shouldn't say the amount because I forgot. Anyways, it's a millions of dollars, and it's all children in school can get a breakfast and lunch for free. It's wonderful. And I'm
very proud of that. As well. Yeah, Michelle Lujan Grisham, the governor of New Mexico, has also signed into law that children get you know, hot lunches, breakfast and lunch. And Republicans are up in arms, you know, against it, saying, oh, you know, why they can't work to get paid to buy school lunches? Well, that's the mentality of conservatives.
Well,
you know,
that if a kid gets a free lunch, that they ought to help in the kitchen and wash the dishes and wash the floor. That's a big bunch of baloney. Their kids wash dishes and sweep the floor in their boarding schools. I doubt it.
Absolutely not. And you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if a child goes to school hungry, you know, because they're in poverty, there is nothing. They're not going to learn anything in school, because they're going to be focused on being hungry, and it makes you feel sick or dizzy or, you know, whatever. So it's a win-win for the country. It's a win-win for everybody. It really is. And doing a little bit of good for people is just a win-win in society. It makes society better. It makes no sense to punish people that are already down and out. It just doesn't.
Because another example, another scenario.
If you want a lesson on how the system works, take somebody more than once to one of these food banks and just see exactly what they get. A whole lot of stuff that they don't eat, that's already past due. bananas mm-hmm. that are so brown. I remember a girl saying, well, if they're hungry, they would go home and make banana bread. Well, where in the hell are they going to get the sugar and the flour? And maybe they're living in their car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
people had better
mm-hmm.
start thinking. And people that talk like that, I would like to take them by the hand and take them down to a food bank and ask them, would you eat this food? There is a whole
mm-hmm.
lot of food that's given to these people in the food bank that comes from China, and there's all over Facebook they're telling you to be careful of the food that comes from China because it's contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they
yeah,
got a lot of stale bread and a lot of stale cookies and a lot of stale cakes. And then they
mm-hmm.
say, oh, look at them, they're fat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Giving them potatoes and cookies and also, oh, don't get me going
yep.
on that.
Another
I have people, and I see the crap that they're given. They're given a whole bushel of
mm-hmm.
tomatoes, and three quarters of that bushel is rotten.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another scenario, ladies. Another scenario,
mm-hmm.
ladies and Kelly, I want to paint is that in Florida recently, Governor DeSantis signed this law. About, you know, alimony being over in the state of Florida and other red states want to follow suit. Do you think it's fair for a woman who gave up her career and maybe qualified through the teeth and because this guy wanted to, like, excel in his career and make the money so she could stay home and be the housewife and raise the kids and take care of the home, and then, you know, he may... It would be a co-worker or, you know, somebody he meets who's younger, who's fresher, who's energetic and everything. And so he divorces that wife after 20, 30 years, who grew his
mm-hmm.
kids up and took care of the home and everything, and married this younger, fresher, young woman, you know. And so she is left with no alimony. Do you think Governor DeSantis and the Republicans in Florida got it wrong when, you know, they wrote that and DeSantis signed that law saying that no more alimony in Florida? What's your take on that, Lori?
Well, the thing is that what business is it of the governor to go into a couple's, a man and a woman's divorce, something that they
mm-hmm.
agreed to and the conditions that they agreed to? What is it
mm-hmm.
that their business to tell, to be able to say, that the woman can't have alimony? I mean, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
It's just as bad as saying, you know, you can't have an abortion. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What business?
Mm-hmm.
That is not their business. It's not their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They did not live in the
mm-hmm.
home. They don't know what happened
mm-hmm.
in the home. They don't know who sacrificed
right.
what for the family. And all of a
mm-hmm.
sudden, because the man decided, it because the governor all of a sudden has a thing about alimony? Why?
Mm-hmm.
What is it his business? What is it the government's
why?
Business?
I think is that the point is cruelty towards women, because we all know that there's a war on women by Republicans, you know, in terms of, like, them choosing to have an abortion or not, alimony, all different things. You know, so, I mean, for the past how many years? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I'm trying to say is that if the man and the woman have decided amongst themselves and their lawyers, you know, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
they get the same lawyer, so with their lawyers,
mm-hmm.
they decide, you know, that he's going to pay her alimony, you know, and
mm-hmm.
maybe he's going to give her some extra money to, you know, buy a home, or they're going to split their home when they sell it. What business
mm-hmm.
is it of the government? It's not their business. It's just ludicrous to me because it's not their business. They have no right to tell anybody what they can have and can't have in a divorce settlement. I'm sorry. That's my
mm-hmm.
opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it also works in reverse. The man could end up losing everything. He might have been the one that got sick, and the woman
right.
is still working and has a decent job. And for some
yeah.
reason, she says, I'm not going to take care of him. I didn't sign up for this. And
yeah.
then she should walk and let the man be sick and not help.
Mm-hmm.
It can work both
yeah.
ways.
Everything can work both ways.
Right, and DeSantis, he's got his nose out of joint. He's just thinking this is one way to hurt women. But it can work both ways, and this is liable to come and bite him in the behind.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just going to read
because the young kids, the younger generation looks at things a little bit different.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. And this is what it says. It's just a very short summary. July 5th, 2023, under the new alimony reform legislation, an award of rehabilitative alimony may not exceed 5 years. Seventh duration alimony lasts for a set period of time. It may not exceed 50% of the short-term marriage, 60% of the length of the moderate-term marriage, and 75% of the length of the long-term marriage. What the hell? If two people decide, if the man wants to be generous or if the woman wants to be generous and say, here, I'm going to give you $2,000 or $5,000 a month for 10 years, what business is of his or the government to tell you he can't do that or she can't do that? It's not their business.
Okay, so how about this? The conservative movement believes men are in trouble and they know who to blame. According to Josh Howley, U.S. Senator from Missouri, quote,
yeah.
The left wants to define traditional masculinity as toxic. They want to define as traditional masculine virtues, things like courage and independence and assertiveness, as a danger to society. This is Josh Harlow speaking. He made a recent speech, and he said that, thus besieging men are retreating into pornography and video games, abandoning their traditional responsibilities, he added. And who can blame them? Quote, in America, you ought to be able to raise a family on a single income. This is Josh Howley, U.S. Senator from Missouri. In America, you ought to be able to raise a family on a single income. Blake Masters made that point in an advertisement when he ran for U.S. Senate in Arizona. The feat was once possible, according to Blake Masters, but globalization made it all too rare. This is a huge problem, but the left, they want to attack me and say, Blake, that's sexist. The breadwinner, as always, is male. So, again, they're stuck in the 1930s and 40s where the woman should, like, stay home, barefoot pregnant, don't get an education, and sacrifice her life in raising kids and taking care of the home. You know, this is the thinking of Republican elected officials, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So elsewhere, Republican men show masculinity at its worst. For example, Sean Parnell, who was Donald Trump's pick to represent Pennsylvania in the U.S. Senate until he lost a custody battle following his ex-wife's accusation of violent domestic abuse, claimed that he denied. Trump, who once bragged about grabbing a woman by the pussy, might find much to admire about Parnell. Quote, I feel like the whole happy wife, happy life nonsense has done nothing but raise one generation of woman tyrants after the next. This is what Parnell said, a former U.S. Senate candidate from Pennsylvania. So, quote, the idea that a woman doesn't need a man to be successful, the idea that a woman doesn't need a man to have a baby, the idea that a woman can live a happy and fulfilling life without a man, I think that is all nonsense. What's your take on that? That's definitely sexist, chauvinist.
First of all, Josh Hawley's wife is a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So she works out of, and she is the one, she is the woman that is fighting to end the FDA approval of the abortion pill. So there you go. They are such a pair, aren't they? Aren't they? Such a pair.
Like I said, conservatives love saying one thing and doing another thing.
Yeah.
She's doing it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Another example. He's worried about who wears the pants, and he wants to change things. Well, then he better check his own household, because that woman runs that house.
Oh,
his wife runs him.
Another example, a perfect example, is former governor of Missouri, Eric Greitens. He was once running for the U.S. Senate under the MAGA platform. And remember this guy, Greitens, he was accused of sexual allegations of assault when he was governor of the state where he had to resign and everything. So, you know, how is anti-feminism, it isn't novel, but he is responding to a new moment in modern American politics, you know, where conservatives have always argued that by muddying gender roles, feminism harms men and women alike. You know, in recent years, this rhetoric has acquired an even sharper edge, pitting men and women against each other as if gender freedom for women comes directly at the expense of men. You know, so again, Republicans, they have this spin machine where, you know, they muddy the waters and saying that, oh, it's basically, I heard this expression as well, where, you know, women will be raising kids, and especially if you're a boy, you know, is like, you know, it's like the pussification of American men and boys, where, you know, boys shouldn't cry, you know, and boys should be like tough and, you know.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, so.
Go ahead.
So in other words, what's your take on that, you know, the pussification of American men? You know, do you think, what's your thought on that whole thing?
I think that men have feelings just like any other human being. They have
mm-hmm.
feelings, have breaking points. They should be allowed to express. And if it's the way they express is to sob or cry, so what? Let it go. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find that ridiculous. How manly is it to hold anger inside and then punch a wall? How manly is that? You know? So,
mm-hmm.
no. There's nothing wrong with expressing your feelings. You know, your hurt feelings or your sadness, there's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with it. And if you do it, you know, if you cry, you cry. So what?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why make a deal
mm-hmm.
out of it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to ask you all a question, starting with Lori. What's your view on the Eagle Forum's Phyllis Schlafly? She was an anti-feminist to the core. She died, God rest her soul, and she thought, you know, her thought process was that, you know, the broader movement of feminism didn't belong in society, and it really wrecked the family life and everything, because, for example, if a woman makes more money than her husband, the man as head of the household, according to the Bible, there again, religion coming in, the Bible says the man is head of the household, even though the woman is making more money, you know? So is there a disparity where, you know, yeah, the man should be the head of the household, but the woman makes more money than him. So, you know, should the man still have a say in how that money is spent? Because that's what the point Phyllis Schlafly was making, for example.
Why shouldn't he? If they have an agreement, you know, if she makes, you know, if she's lucky enough to make more money than him and they're married
mm-hmm.
and they're happy together, what does it matter who makes the more money? Does it matter really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, to me, it would not matter.
Well,
as,
some
you know,
women
you
it does.
Both
some women, to some women it does.
Some women, I'm speaking for myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm speaking for myself.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it would not matter. You know, if you're both, you know, fair and honest with each other, and you both are working, and if one has an advantage over the other and it happens to be money, then you know what? So what? You know, there's a lot of stay-at-home
mm-hmm.
dads, too. You know, I worked with a woman. She decided, you know, her husband was a stay-at-home dad, and she worked. That's how it was. And, you know, she was happy about it. She liked working, and he liked staying home. So there's so
mm-hmm.
is there any right or wrong in any of that? No. It's once again, it's between that family you know, the nuclear family. It's between them. It's between mm-hmm. what they decide, what's best for them in their family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the discussion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it mm-hmm. doesn't always work. Things are never perfect, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
you try. And if it doesn't work, then you go to plan B. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Me Too movement. The Me Too movement was an attempt to correct a longstanding social problem, and it was that of violence against women. Overcorrection, while much prophesied, never took place. Millions of voters still revered the former president, who faced dozens of credible accusations of sexual harassment and assault. I mean, by golly, he was found guilty of raping E. Jean Carroll recently. I have to pay $5 million, you know. The Me Too movement, to me, was necessary. But
mm-hmm.
the conservatives painted it in a way that's saying, hey, it's a persecution of men, of all men. And it's like a war on men, you know. What's your answer
mm-hmm.
to that? What would you tell a conservative man who said, oh, Me Too movement is just man-hating and is a war on men? Anybody?
Well, I'm thinking.
Go ahead, Khalil. I feel that they're trying to spin it. The men are trying to spin it. The anti-feminist people are trying to spin it when they say it's against men, the same way that they do with it when it comes to minorities, like people of color and LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make themselves
mm-hmm.
victims. A situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the Me Too movement, I think, was supposed to bring awareness to, if I remember right, like sexual harassment, abuse of women in the workplace,
assault.
That sort of sexual
mm-hmm.
assault, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
mm-hmm.
what the Me Too movement started out to be. And then, like
mm-hmm.
Khalil said, it probably got spinned around and around, and, you know, now
mm-hmm.
they're thinking that women want to take over the world, but no, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and, you know, I'm sure that men can be harassed as well in a workplace,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have a woman boss.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of those circumstances as well. So I guess, in the world, you just have to kind of try to be your best and do your best and survive.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy. In the work world, it's not easy.
What
mm-hmm.
about the guy that gets a hit on by his male boss? He's also part of the Me Too movement, isn't he? What about the player boys?
Sure,
the guy sit on by the
men in Congress has done that.
Aren't they part of the Me Too movement?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, a lot of men in Congress. Yeah.
But you know what? The conservatives have a way of twisting things around and bringing it back to their own
mm-hmm.
personal narrative. And I really am getting
mm-hmm.
tired of the term conservative. I'd like to think of another term for them.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Me Too movement, it also consisted of children who were molested by men. I remember
mm-hmm.
that on social media, people pouring their hearts out. And I'm
mm-hmm.
talking about men who were choir boys or were in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all coming
mm-hmm.
to light. So these
mm-hmm.
Republican men have got their noses out of joint.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They better start. They better wake up and smell the coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, you mentioned sports. We have, you know, a couple instances here in Michigan at Michigan State. He was sexually abused quite a few young men. And he's in prison now. I can't think of his name, but
Nesser. Nesser.
Yeah.
But that was the girls. There is now a coach who is up in, I think it's Rochester Hills, and he was molesting hockey players,
yes,
boys,
yes,
and grown,
mm-hmm,
men.
Yeah, I saw that today. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that scars these kids for life. You know, it really does.
So that's all part of the Me Too movement. I really am getting tired of the Republican men twisting and turning everything around to
mm-hmm,
suit their own agenda. I've had it.
Mm-hmm.
I've just plain had it. You know, the black,
yeah,
people never suffered. The black people were never picked on. It's getting out of hand.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're trying to erase history. They're trying to change history. They don't want, you know, they don't want students to read, you know, history books now because, you know, they don't want them to know what really happened in this country.
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't
want
them to read about their ancestors.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yeah, another thing I want to bring up.
Their ancestors that did it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In my case,
so
their ancestors that did it.
Mm-hmm. The next thing I want to bring up is the absence of guaranteed paid leave and affordable child care created heavy burdens for women workers and everything. So when this,
mm-hmm,
happened, they get pushed out of the workforce in droves.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it,
yeah,
a lot during the pandemic and everything. So the growing acceptance of trans people may threaten traditional gender binaries, but is it not a substantive assault on male sex that, you know, trans people, you know, as Republicans claiming, trans people get more rights than regular cis people, cisgender, meaning you're straight and, you know. Because, mm-hmm, they're claiming that the gays and the trans people, you know, the turns around saying that, you know, regular heterosexual people are getting discriminated against because, you know, the rights of gay people and trans people are being recognized. You know, and that's nonsense to me.
That is nonsense. It really,
mm-hmm,
is nonsense. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just because they don't,
mm-hmm,
want, you know, them to have any sort of rights or be human at all. That's
mm-hmm,
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're threatened by them.
Religious belief again.
Mm-hmm.
It's religious,
mm-hmm,
belief.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Well, it's religious belief. Well, you know, they're talking about trans people going into the woman's job. Well, what about the guy that would go into a restaurant or a place where there was lots of people and he had mirrors on his shoes? Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
That guy that was walking around and he had mirrors on his shoes so that he could look up women's dresses?
Yes.
Well, they don't remember that, do they? And that was supposed,
mm-hmm,
to be a regular heterosexual man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many instances of so many different things that, you know, it's mind-boggling, actually, you know. I didn't hear that story, Elaine. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't remember that?
Yeah, I've heard that story
that,
and made other stories.
I think it was somewhere in New York, and he got away with it for a long time. He had some kind of mirrors on his shoes, and he would stand,
mm-hmm,
so that he could see up women's dresses.
Because listen, where I lived in Florida, there was this guy in the community who, you know, he uses phone, and no matter how young the female was, he literally in the gas station put his phone and take pictures under her dress. You know, 14,
oh my
15,
God.
No matter how old, you know, and he'd go to department stores, the mall, and did things like that. And there's no law on the book at the time. I don't know if it changed by now, you know, to,
mm-hmm,
arrest somebody like him. You know, I mean, children as young as 12, 13 years old. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's sick.
And yeah, so if that's, you know, if that's not toxic male behavior, I don't know what is. You know,
yeah,
and the Christian right, you know, the Christian right also wants to claim that men and women's role are being devalued and they are being emasculated by policies that promote feminism. Again, Josh Howell and Republicans are wrong. You know, what is wrong with wanting equality? What is wrong with, you know, being on the same level playing field, getting paid the same and everything? You
There's
know, he's brandishing this aggressive anti-feminism that bears all the hallmarks of a trollish, new age, new generation Republican spin machine bullshit, you know? And
well,
a whole people are misused to throw it.
Well, you know, it's always been that, you know, the we all grew up, you know, the man is the one that's supposed to, you know, make the money, put the bread on the table, put the food on the table, you know, blah, 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 you know. But the world has evolved. It's changed. First of all, you need two people to work now in order to keep your household going, you know, to, you know, have your cars and put your kids in sports and everything else because everything is so expensive. So in most households, both the man and the woman work. So, you know, they should be equal. Now, in their workplace, that's a different story, you know, but in their home, they should be, you know. Are they? No, but they should be.
They should be.
Yeah.
That hasn't quite evolved yet. That hasn't quite evolved yet.
No, probably not. Probably not. You're probably right about that.
So even though liberals and candidates running for U.S. Senate and governor or wherever, the federal offices, you know, they do point out the black masses of the world about having single-income dreams and, you know, calling, you know, conservatives who think like that misogynists while out on a campaign trail. But, you know, what are the traditional gender norms are worth preserving? You know, masculinity is not threatened by Howell's claim, Josh Howell, for example. And as long as Brett Kavanaugh can ascend to the Supreme Court despite a credible allegation of sexual assault, as long as Donald Trump remains a popular figure within the conservative movement, and as long as domestic violence doesn't automatically end political careers, masculinity is hardly under attack, in my opinion, from a male perspective. You know, rights for women look fragile with abortion at the precipice, but American women need a partner that won't sacrifice them for fear of sounding too woke. You know, I think Democratic Party is doing a great job in standing up for women's rights and everything, starting with Joe Biden come right down to the U.S. Congress, Democrats in the House and the Senate.
Sure. I mean, just the attack on abortion rights. I mean, what about that? That is an attack. That's an assault on women. It's an attack on women. It's an attack on their rights. You know, it's as bad as it, you know, and the, like the alimony law in Florida, that's an attack on women because, you know, he was probably thinking, and I just can't get over that he did that. It just makes me so angry. But he was probably thinking that the man makes more money than the woman. And, you know, why should she get alimony? You know, I could just imagine, you know, and to sign something like that and the abortion rights. And, you know, it's awful. It's awful. They are trying to take women back, you know, to the 1950s, 40s, 30s, well, I don't know where, you know, back far away, you know. And we're not going to have it. We work too hard. Not going to have it.
Yeah,
they want to bring women back to the 60s and 70s that you had to tell your boss when you were pregnant and you didn't dare show if you happened to show a baby bump. That was just unforgivable, and you were fired.
Well, you could lose a job?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
You
tell me more.
Fired.
No,
really, if you got pregnant? I didn't know that.
If you got
wow.
pregnant and didn't tell them, that meant that you had to quit before you showed. If you quit before you showed, that was okay.
Wow.
You just quit. You had to quit.
Oh.
But if you didn't tell them and all of a sudden you started to show and they asked you if you were pregnant and you said yes, you were fired.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
no
new to me. It's new to me. Yeah, that's
so do you think Democrats in this upcoming election in 2024 should run more women candidates across the board, not just federal level, but state level and local levels?
If they're qualified, absolutely. If they're qualified, why not? They can do the job. If they, you know, if they can do it, why not?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, because, you know, when you look at it, the average voter, according to the Washington Post, they didn't want to enroll. But social conservatives with the money backing and the bully pulpit of Fox News and other right-wing media, they often claim they speak for the silent majority of the American electorate. You know, but poll after poll, even in Nebraska, very conservative from Nebraska, and even Ohio recently voted no against all types of abortion, which is a good sign, you know, that women are being listened to, is being heard. And, you know, Republicans just, you know, lost in translation. You know, they want their way as the highway. They're going off Bible and religious things compared to the Constitution of the United States. Because Lauren Boebert 6 months ago gave a speech about, you know, America should go back to the Bible. And the laws made based off the Bible. I don't remember if you ladies heard that or remember that. I played it months ago on one of the shows. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's Lauren Boebert. I think with a grain of salt because she's a stupid idiot. You know? They're actually women who think that way. And it hurt the cause of the women's movement and the women's suffrage and feminism in general. You know? So, yeah. I know your take on it, Laura, but, you know, for the people who are just listening or maybe new to the program, what's your feeling about religion and politics? And also you, Elaine, and if Khalil is still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, if Khalil's still there, I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Go ahead, Khalil.
If these people really were doing this for actual religious, the right reason, they would be they would be more consistent about gun control, you know. Cause, but then again, these are the same people that as soon as you do something like in a movie, like an action film, you shoot a fake gun, they'll call you a hypocrite in a minute because you're firing a fake gun. But then you call out their hypocrisy, they don't want to see it. So they'll come up with a reason. And I've even talked to them about things like cars. You know, you can talk to them about how cars have more safety features than guns. That's why we don't regulate them. But then they forget what they've said. You know, basically when they say stuff about how you don't have a right to a car, they forget the fact that they've said it. But then when someone says that they have these safety features, that's when they say you don't have a right to a car. It's like, make up your mind. Either you don't have a right to a car and it's not a right, or, you know, cars are not guns. You know, it's like, make up your mind. And these people do not want to make up their mind when it comes to certain analogies or certain types of hypocrisy. And I've called Steven Crowder out about that, too.
Because,
okay.
I mean, like...
I'm sorry.
And see, the thing is, if these people actually were doing this for a real religious and real humane reason, they'd be against other things, and they support other things, too. Even the healthcare, they support that.
And next example, Khalil and everyone, is the death penalty debate. If you're pro-life, how can you be pro-death penalty? the two things
right.
cancel out each other. It don't make sense. That's the next way
yeah,
conservatives does. Contradict themselves. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're going to try. But then again, they're going to say one has nothing to do with the other. They do that all
mm-hmm.
the time.
No,
they always
do.
Say
they
one has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do that all the time. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
the spin machine, and they've been doing that forever, and they're good at their messaging. You know, I've said it
mm-hmm.
many, many times. And
okay, going back to the country being run by religion. Whose
mm-hmm.
religion?
Mm-hmm.
Whose religion?
What?
Buddhist?
Well, Christianity, of course. That's what they're saying.
Catholic,
this is the national
Baptist,
religion.
Baptist? You know, which religion? I mean, come on. Let's get real here. Judea?
Mm-hmm.
Jewish? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Pentecostal? I mean, I mean, there's hundreds out there. Whose religion does she want?
Mm-hmm.
They're all
mm-hmm.
holy book.
Yeah.
I mean,
not everybody
you know,
have that
people
religion.
Get real. Get real. You
mm-hmm.
came
yeah.
to
mm-hmm.
this country. Your ancestors, the ones that are doing this ballyhooing, is probably their
mm-hmm.
ancestors came to this country so they could worship
mm-hmm.
in peace without somebody
mm-hmm.
telling them how to worship. That is why
mm-hmm.
the Constitution was written, no church and state.
Absolutely.
It's separated.
Mm-hmm.
And now these
mm-hmm.
idiots want to change everything. It's unbelievable.
Of course they do. Well, it would be to
mm-hmm.
their, you know, it's for their convenience. It's for, you know, it's just another way to control. That's all it is. And you know, and what better way is to use religion for control? You know, religion and politics do not mix. They never have, and they never will.
Mm-hmm.
And they can continue, you know, to push the idea that, you know, we need religion in this country or Christianity in this country or evangelists in this country. But take a look at some of the top evangelists. They are multi-millionaires. They have jets. They have yachts. They have huge homes. And, you know, they live a lavish lifestyle. Really? Are they humble at all? No, they're not humble. You know, the money
mm-hmm.
that they make is off of people's backs because they ask them
mm-hmm.
to make, to donate to them, you know,
mm-hmm.
a certain amount of, and a lot of them do that. A lot of them do
mm-hmm.
that. They actually give them a certain amount from their income, how much money they make in a year, and they ask for a percentage amount. That's crazy, in my
mm-hmm.
opinion. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you go to church and you want to go to church, if you want to give someone, give them $5, you give them $5. You don't owe them
mm-hmm.
anything. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think, you know, that you could be a woman who's conservative but a feminist? Because to me, that's the biggest oxymoron there is, conservative feminist. It sounds contradictory.
It is. No, you can't.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. How can you be that? How can you be a conservative but yet have an open mind? Doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's an article that says 1 in 3 men believe feminism does more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, this study unveils the results of a global survey conducted in 30 countries in collaboration with the Global Institute of Women's Leadership at King's College in London. Only 2 in 10 deny the existence of gender equality, but views are split on the benefits of feminism.
Mm-hmm.
Concerns about
online abuse remain, with 1 in 10 men saying it's acceptable someone unrequested explicit images. I think we know what they're talking about.
Right.
And then it also goes on to say 4 in 10 have experienced online abuse or seen sexist content, but 1 in 3 believe many women overreact.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also victim blaming are found in minorities across the country that were asked. So try to figure that out. I mean, yes, there is online. We all know that there is online abuse. We all know that there are those keyboard bullies. We know that, we've all gotten those crazy messages. I know I have. And, you just block the speech. Now, what else can you do?
Yeah, I mean, like, an example where, a guy who posts is drunk, take a picture of it and send you a private message. For example, a lot of women that I know on Facebook, that has happened, or you'd be sleeping 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and then out of the blue, somebody call you using Facebook cam-to-cam, not respecting your boundaries. I mean, you may talk to them occasionally or talk to every day or every other day, but, like, they want to ignite this friendship into something else. And, they get inappropriate and, go, cross certain lines,
I'm
curious, what is their definition of feminist? Can anybody answer that? Anybody. What is the conservatives' definition of feminism?
I have no idea. That
I don't either, because I'm trying to figure it out here. I'm trying to figure out what is it that they are upset about. Is it lipstick and eyelashes? Is it a nice hairdo? Is it a pretty dress? What the hell is what is their definition?
No,
that's
they believe that women
isn't
should stay home.
Is a girl that decides that she's going to wear combat boots with her jeans? Is that bad? I mean, what is it? I think they're more confused than we are.
Yeah. It's a tough thing. I mean, it truly is. I mean, it's not a simple conversation to have. It really isn't. Because there's so many defining points. I think men should have the rights just like women and men should be equal if they're working together, if they have, in the same office, if they're on the same level of their job. They should be courteous to each other and, not backstab each other. But we know that the world does not work like that. We know that, and it's not always the man doing it to the woman. It's sometimes it's the woman, wants to climb the ladder faster,
Crabbing
the barrel. You just have to know how to handle things. Pardon?
Yeah. Crabbing a barrel mentality where other women, instead of uplifting each other, they drag down each other. And especially in the corporate world. 515-605-9802. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hi, it's Madeline. Hi, Laurie. Hi,
Madeline, how are you?
I heard a little bit what she was saying as far as equality and pay. How long has it taken for us to get this far?
Since 1919, when you got the right to vote in America, from then, even before then, you fight and fight tooth and nail. And, y'all come a long way as women, but a long way has to go still. you know.
Here's an analogy that really is sad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The question asks, what does Kamala do?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, nobody asked that question until a woman got the job.
Right.
And,
that is very true. Doesn't that say everything, though?
Of course.
That high up.
Yeah.
That high up, and it's still there. So.
And if a woman were maybe in the next cycle, it'll probably be the same way. What does she do? Does she bake pies for everybody?
Well, remember, it was the 1970s before women were even allowed to own property or have credit in their own name. Couldn't get a job without their husband's permission. You still can't get your tubes tied without your husband's permission with most doctors. No law about that. It's just the way it is. I mean, it's ridiculous, the rules they put on us. It's all for their own benefit.
Yeah. Yes, in the 1970s, women couldn't own property without telling the husband, couldn't have a credit card without telling the husband.
Without getting his permission, I should say.
You know? I mean, all that is blackness and sexism.
The credit card had to be on the husband's name.
I don't know about the permission. I don't know about the permission part, but it was, at that time, it was
a code
in the husband's name. I don't know about the permission time. I've never experienced
that. I read upon it, and you needed your husband's permission to have a credit card.
Is it permission?
Or your father's permission if you weren't married.
What do you mean,
verbal permission?
You mean verbal permission?
If you weren't married, you needed the father's permission to have a credit card. Can I make the point?
Yes, please.
If you weren't married, you need a father's permission to have a credit card. If you're married, you need a husband's permission to have a credit card. And you couldn't own property with without your husband's permission.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the 1970s.
Okay, so what I'm asking is, the permission, is it verbal or was it a signature permission?
Verbal.
I did not experience that in my life.
I don't want women to come in and sign, and the guy coming in and sign, saying that you have permission to have a credit card. That was back in the 1970s.
I was married in 74.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I kind of did what. I don't think I came across that. Did you, Lori?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm asking the question.
If it didn't happen to you, it don't necessarily mean it didn't happen. You get what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying that. No, of course. That's why I was asking the question. Was there a signature needed, or was it a verbal permission, you know, between the husband and the wife?
Yeah, signature,
you know?
The guy.
What happened to me, I can explain what happened.
Go ahead.
I had my own credit card at Hudson's. Because I was single. I got married. I went to Hudson's after I was married, and they always, and at the beginning, they always asked, which they still do many places, for your driver's license. The woman looked at my driver's license, and she said, your name is different. And I said, I am married. She took my card. At that time, it was the metal plate. She took out a pair of pliers and bent it. She said, here is an application. Have your husband get a credit card for Hudson's, and then he can get you one if he wants you to have one.
It will
be on his name.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Scary.
Mm-mm.
And the first house we bought, I could sign. He couldn't sell it after we bought it, but he owned it.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't sell it without my permission. in Michigan.
Okay.
But the first house he bought, the first house we didn't buy, he bought. He got the mortgage. A woman could not be on any of that. The only way she was on it is if he decided to sell the house. That, again, was, I guess, for protection for divorce or parting or death. The man could not sell the house without the woman signing off. Those laws have changed. But it was there. It was there in the 60s and in the 70s. It changed somewhere around the late 80s. Because my husband got a letter from the charge company saying that women could now have their own credit. And he handed me the application, and he said, go for it. That's how I got my first credit card.
Wow.
I signed his name
to
everything, every credit card I ever used of his. They didn't even know what his signature looked like.
I know. That's true. That's true.
That's crazy. For real.
Isn't it?
It was sometime in the 80s. The application, and he said, women, now there was a law passed. He said, women now can have credit. He said, fill it out, get your own credit.
So, Madeline, what do you think? Do you think that, you know, okay, so do you think America will eventually change with the times anytime soon, where white conservative men would accept women as an equal? What's your take on that?
Yeah, you told me.
No, I'm
asking. On the phone.
I'm asking, will women and men in America be equal in our lifetime? That's a question to everybody.
Will they be equal in their lifetime?
Yes.
In
our
lifetime?
It depends on
your
Yeah.
It depends on your situation in your life, in my opinion. It depends on your situation in your life, in my opinion. And I think, yes, it can happen.
I'm going to get another canister. What is a canister?
Yes.
Huh.
Oh,
Lord. I know I had...
Okay. Yeah. All right, now, so I have a little over 20 minutes left and everything. I want to thank Khalil for calling in. There's background noise there and everything. Can't deal with that right now because it's a hard topic we're dealing with. And, you know, the background noise is killing me.
I know.
Okay. So I'm asking everybody on the panel, in our lifetime, do you think that there will be true equality on a broader scale in society, where men and women will be equal in terms of getting equal pay and, you know, just look on each other as equals, whether in the boardroom or wherever, just equals? Or do you think men, specifically white conservative men, will still fight against it?
I think that the old school men will fight against it. But I think that the younger generation will probably, hopefully, be a little bit different and step up. Yes, I agree. Because I mean, I've seen already changes, you know, my daughter and her family and how they do things and, you know, and I do see that things are different. You know, they have more say into what they do, you know, and what they spend. You know, they have their budget, but you know what I'm saying. So yeah, I think it's I think it is a possibility. You know, I absolutely think it's a possibility. You know, I do.
Yeah, Elaine, your thoughts?
Yes and no. If we would keep the generations that we have now, I would say that yes, it would be equal. I mean, if you can lift the bag, you can lift the bag. But we have some immigration that is coming over that has some very conservative, the men have some very conservative views, and they are going to be in the background. Their sons are going to be schooled by their fathers. And women have still got a long way to go. This is a global problem, especially in America, because you know, we have all this immigration.
Yeah,
and
different customs.
I see right here, right in my own neighborhood, I can see it now that there are some, I'm not going to point fingers, there are some nationalities that the man rules. And it's going to take generations from them. And they're going to be involved, and they're going to try to push it. They're going to try to push their conservative ways.
Madeline, what's your thought?
I don't see a utopia for a while. Because of that reason.
Yeah. Madeline, what's your thought on it?
Well, I'm thinking here, too, this group of folks that are, like, for instance, in their 40s, 45 years old, their kids are getting a little grown up. Now they're going into their next, you know, maybe movement of life, but yet, you know, they're not slowing down any. That's the problem. You would think they still want that house. They're still doing, they're still working like crazy. They're, I do believe in a way that it will. I really, because of how hard everyone works, how eager everyone is. You can't do it alone. You gotta have a person that's on the same wavelength and same work ethic, and I don't know. I think in this century, yes. And I'll leave it at that. That seems like a wide span there, but I do.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
I think so too.
Yeah, because of the assimilation of different cultures and everything, Middle East, Asia, the Caribbean, where my roots is from, you know, it's not like Europe or America where incremental changes is happening in America and everything when it comes to women's rights. But we're far away to go. It may take decades, 2-3 decades. But according to the labor board statistics, by 2045, 2050, there'll be a minority majority. You know, I mean, things get changed up so much culturally, where you have different nationalities and ethnicities intermarrying. And so the white population, which is 76% now of white people, and the norm was for them to be on top of the hierarchy, but now, slowly but surely, it's coming down, and that's why white conservative men are anti-feminist, they're anti-immigrant, they're anti-everything. They're losing their grasp of power, and they're just desperate and drawing at straws to keep that power. And so, as Elaine said, it's going to take a couple of decades before the mindset is changing when it comes on to the role of feminism and the toxic masculinity that exists today. You know, and it's going to take time, and, you know, we'll still have to work towards gender equality. And, you know, it's not impossible to happen, but it'll take at least 2-3 generations for that to happen. You know, we'll come a long way since 1920s. Another long way to go.
Sure.
That's my take on it. That's my take on it.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with Dave. Absolutely. It's going to take some time. And there's so many... There are so many things that come into play, you know, when you think about, you know, there. And the other thing I was thinking about, this is kind of crazy, but when you think about a nurse, don't you normally think of a woman in that position, in that job?
Yeah.
You normally think of a woman. Now men are getting into nursing. You know, when you think of a mailman, it was usually men. Now there's women that are male men. So they should be called male women, which sounds weird, but you know what I'm saying? So what, you know, what other titles are there besides male men where there's women working there, nurses, where there's, you know, men working now as nurses as well. There's male nurses,
civil engineers, electrical engineers, doctors, lawyers, the traditional male role, you know, woman taking over. When you see college graduation, you know, women are getting more degrees and everything. You know, in the boardroom, you know, women are CEOs.
And you know, the other And you know, what I've also noticed is that some women go into the trade. You know, they want to paint. They want to, you know, they want to build things. And there's no reason why they can't, you know. So I guess we just have to open up our minds and allow for people to just experience what they want, experience their life, and go forward from there, you know. And hopefully that'll happen, you know. But it's
remark. I was talking about the social aspect of it not changing. Laurie, you're completely right on the job market. That will change no matter who comes over to this country. I was talking about the social. The social change is going to take a little bit longer because of the different nationalities that are coming over here. So I wanted to make that. I wanted to clarify my remark, but I do agree with you on the workforce.
And the traditions that these different nationalities have. Everyone has different traditions in their life, you know, just in different customs, the way they do things, the way they celebrate things, you know, you know, and everyone has to just be tolerable, you know, you have to just be tolerable, you know, and accept because if you don't, we're never going to get along, you know?
Okay. Last question before we go, we have 10 minutes left. Okay. So India had Indira Gandhi. Great Britain had Margaret Thatcher, Jamaica had Portia Simpson Miller, and different countries across the world has had, you know, women heads of state. Do you think, you know, that the United States, within the next two election cycles at least, will get a female president?
A specific question.
Do you think Republicans will ever nominate a woman to be president of the United States? That's an even more pinpointed question.
Now you have closed the circle, and I'm going to say probably not.
Mm-hmm.
No, then somebody better be Marjorie Taylor Greene.
But then,
Marjorie Taylor Greene. Wow, no, God, no.
Somebody needs to tell her.
But then again, we have to remember that, you know, Nikki Haley, who is a woman running as a Republican, they haven't outed her yet. I haven't heard anyone, you know, so it's hard to say.
She's governor.
You know, Democrats did the right thing in 2016 when they elected or nominated Hillary or Adam Clinton. I think America would have helped Russia by the ground. You know, and I don't think the Republican Party, anytime soon, in the next 20, 30, probably 40 years, and they're still in existence, will ever nominate a woman, a female, as head of the party, as a nominee. Because they're too backward. They're too ignorant. They're like full of this religious garbage about man is head of the household, and the Bible says that, you know, man being head of the household, the woman should listen, speak when you're spoken to, blah, blah, blah. So it's sort of fringe, lunatic, right-wing, nut job party, you know? But Democrats are more you know, inclusive. You know, we'll start with the nomination of Hillary Clinton, the season, the nomination and consequential election of different women across the board and different levels of government. You know, so Democrats are more tolerant in terms of women's rights and fighting for feminism and what have you. And Republicans are totally against that. So Republicans, I was surprised that in the next 20 years or less, they're still a viable party. You're saying something, Lori.
I agree with that. But don't forget, we do mm-hmm. have some Republican governors.
Keir Ivey is in Alabama. She's a Trumpist nut job, a religious nut. Sarah Huckabee in Arkansas.
Yep. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. What about the other one in Arizona, the one that wants to run for, think she's going to be vice president?
Oh, Carrie Lake.
Yes, Carrie mm-hmm. Lake. She's another one.
She lost.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, you know. So maybe for governor, mm-hmm. for president, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because rumor has it that she's on a short list of potential vice presidential pick for Donald Trump if and when that time comes. And Marjorie Taylor mm-hmm. Greene claims to be on that short list. So, I mean, I didn't think it was possible that, you know, someone could be worse than Sarah Palin. But when you have, mm-hmm. you know, talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene being on any ticket for the highest office in the land, or worse yet, Carrie Lake, then you have to really worry. You really, really have to
yep.
worry. Janet Mills, she's a Kansas governor. She's a Democrat. You know, Iowa has Laura Kelly. Alabama has mm-hmm. Kim Reynolds. I mean, Keir Ivey, sorry. Kim Reynolds mm-hmm. is in Iowa. Michigan has Gretchen Whitmer. You know, mm-hmm. so there are a lot of women out there who are mm-hmm. current governors in Arizona. And, you know, of course, it shows bias. Democrats are better than Republicans. It's a board,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, I think Democrats will, you know, nominate a woman and we'll beat the Republicans to the punch in having the first female woman president one day. You know,
that
maybe it
would
not happen in 2020. It would be nice. You know, it may not happen in 2020 if and when Kamala Harris won, because America is still so racist and backward and sexist, you know. So, you know, we'll see what
David,
happens. We'll see what
David,
happens.
Did you say in 2028 you don't think a woman can be elected president?
I'd have to see it to believe it. I'd want it to happen, but the way the current climate is made, you know, toxic and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
more male-dominated mm-hmm. and chauvinistic. I cannot mm-hmm. say, you know, because you see the hit job that they did on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's wishful thinking on my part, you know, to have a, you know,
mm-hmm.
a strong, intelligent leader and a woman president.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're right.
You know,
I don't know
current,
if it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the current proper Republican women who are governor are all for Trump. Kim Reynolds in Iowa, not Job.
Oh, yeah. They are.
We'll have a great governor in red state Kansas. Laura Kelly is a Democrat. First in a long
mm-hmm.
while, but elected a Democrat as governor.
Mm-hmm.
Maine has Janet
mm-hmm.
Mills as a governor, a Democrat. She's a good Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, like you
mm-hmm.
said.
Yeah.
Michelle Lujan Grisham in New Mexico, my governor. She's awesome. You can look
mm-hmm.
for her in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Hochul in New York, a Democrat, female
mm-hmm.
governor, doing well. Kit Brown in Oregon, another Democrat, kicking ass. You know, Kristen Noem, who is in South Dakota, I think it is. Yeah, South Dakota, Kristen Noem, an ex-Trump Republican, a next nut job. I mean, out of all of them.
No, she's crazy.
She makes Sarah Huckabee Sanders look,
Yeah, she's crazy. She's crazy.
Yeah, she's first openly anti-LGBT and everything in her power.
Yeah,
so, you know, just screw people over.
Yeah,
she's Nordice Lou Guerrero from Guam. She's a Democrat. Yeah, she is the governor of Guam, you know. And U.S. senators, you know, I don't have a thing up there, you know, my computer goes slow. It's ridiculous. You know, but, I mean, you know, women come a long way and everything. It's a good thing.
Oh, for sure.
But,
I think so.
Yeah, like you said earlier in the show, that, you know, especially in the boardroom, where women should uplift women. But what we have is sometimes women dragging other women down. Maybe because of professional jealousy or for whatever reason. And that should cut out,
and,
you know?
And, well, for different reasons. You know, they do that because they want to climb the ladder, you know, quicker. Or, you know, they feel inferior to that one. And, you know, they want that raise. They want that, you know, they want that, you know, higher position. And, I mean, it happens. It happens in every line of work. So you just have to know how to tolerate it and how to get around it, like Elaine did. Right, Elaine? And I do believe that we've come a long way. I think women are more respected now than they were, you know, years ago. I think our opinions mean much more. And it's going to continue on this way. It will continue on.
And last point before we go, for the first 130 years of the existence of the United States, all U.S. senators, the membership was made entirely of men. It wasn't until 1920 when few women ran for U.S. Senate, and until the 1990s, very few were elected. This particular This woman, what's her name? Oh, Lord Jesus. I just had it in Rebecca Felton, for example. She was in 1922. She ran in Georgia. She won. 10 years later, we have Kathy Calloway. She represented Arkansas. And then my personal favorite, Margaret Shea Smith, was elected in 1949 to the U.S. Senate. She was from Colorado, I think. She was a Republican. You know, and ever since then, Elaine Edwards was appointed the first Catholic governor of Louisiana. So women come a long way, but we still have a long way to go in terms of giving women equality all across the board. You know, so, you know, good going women.
That's for sure.
You know, don't give up on us men. You know, some men are still, you know, believe in them and believe in equal rights. And we're not a, you know, we're not here to shit on women's rights. We're here to give everybody an equal opportunity and chance. This was a hard topic, a touchy topic, you know. I was walking on eggshells because I didn't want to say nothing out of place, you know, and offend anybody listening.
No, you did very well. And you're right. It is a touchy subject because, like I said in the beginning, everyone's experiences in their life are different. And the way you handle them makes a difference as well. Like Elaine seemed to have, you know, she had a bad experience, but she handled it. She did really well at her job. So, you know, and someone else maybe would have quit, you know. So, yeah, you have to, you know, do what's best for yourself. That's all.
Yeah. All right, we've got to go. We're all out of time.
Yeah.
Thank everybody for sharing across social media. Again,
the
website is kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll thank Elaine. We'll thank Khalil in Virginia. We'll thank Madeline in Michigan for calling. And everyone who's listening. Until next week, same time, same place, Sundays and Mondays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll have Kitchen Parties 1, 2, 3 again. So in the meantime, I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
From Michigan, everyone, stay safe, have a good evening, and we'll see you on Sunday. Bye now. Thank you.